Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it.
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
All right, we move into question number three. Chance at that Vegas trip in the two dinner invitations. I couldn't think of a better word than invitation, so I went with it.
And Chris Ello.
During the break, Tony Gwynn Jr. let out a string of expletives.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm going to let out a string of...
Nothing.
Man, I'm going to be nice to you today.
Whoa.
Be nice to you today.
Why?
Because the show's only an hour, and I think I can hang on that
okay.
long.
All right.
Yay, welcome to Gwen and Chris, everybody. 3:01 is the time. I'm Chris Ello. That's Matt Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr. is getting set to call tonight's game between the Padres and the Texas Rangers. It's our pre-game show, as it were, here on 97.3 The Fan, and it's going to include a very interesting visit with Padres relief pitcher Emilio Pagan. We spoke with him a little earlier today. You'll hear that about a half an hour from right now, so stick around. Emilio Pagan's a great guy, terrific guy, and I didn't realize he was from South Carolina.
I didn't either.
And he's playing on the Padres. And, again, it's something I didn't really think about, but this is his fifth year in the major leagues, and it's the first time that he's ever played on the same team for a second consecutive season. He's been traded after every one of his seasons. He was 1 year in Seattle, 1 year in Oakland, 1 year in Tampa Bay, and then 1 year with the Padres, now 2 years with the Padres, and he's very grateful for that, the fact that somebody actually wanted him back for a second year. What did he say today? He said he was waiting for the phone to ring all off season,
yeah.
Figuring he's probably going to get traded again.
Yeah, I
and
was
so
like,
he's really happy to be in San Diego again.
Oh my gosh,
what?
We sound weird, don't we?
No, I sound good.
Okay,
I sound really good. I don't know. As soon as you started to talk,
yeah,
sounded
it just
a
sounds
crazy.
All weird. But yeah, he said that during the interview. He was like, "Yeah, I just kind of got used to waiting for my phone to ring so that I knew I was traded." And it hit me right in the heart. I was like, "Poor Emilio."
Poor Emilio. Yeah, but back with the Padres for a second season, off to an excellent start. You'll have a chance to listen to that interview coming up at the bottom of this hour. We've got a little time together before that, though. Talk some Padre baseball. Trent Grisham. Is he the savior, Scraby? Is he going to be the guy that jumpstarts this struggling Padre lineup? He's back off the injured list and in the leadoff spot tonight for the Padres as they get set to start this series in Texas. Globe Life Field is a place of great thrills for the Padres last season and great disappointment for the Padres last season. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, they had the memorable two-game set there, and they hit the grand slams. Fernando Tatis Jr. started it with that on the 3-0 pitch, heard around the world, the one that he wasn't supposed to swing at. Remember that? Boy, did we take a lot of heat for that. The Padres just don't play the game the right way. Oh, sorry. It's 3-0. Bases are loaded. evidently you can't swing if the guy lays one right down the middle for you.
I still am stunned at how angry everybody got over something so simple.
Oh, my goodness. People, I didn't think they were ever going to forgive Fernando Tatis Jr. for doing
there's
that.
There's a lot of people who still haven't.
Yeah, that's right. Remember the time that Fernando Tatis... Yes, I do
I
remember
that
the time
so many
that he
times.
Swung and hit a grand slam. What's the matter with that? Last I checked, you're supposed to score as many runs as you can and win a ball game. And Fernando Tatis Jr.'s grand slam started off a string against these very same Texas Rangers. The Padres, you may recall, they played him twice in Arlington and then right back with two games in San Diego. And the Padres hit a grand slam in all four games to set a major league record. No other team had ever done that before. And the Padres even capped it with a fifth game.
They
with
did.
A grand slam. And that was born, of course, the name Slam Diego. And it all happened at Globe Life Field. But on the flip side of that, Globe Life Field is also where their 2020 dreams were dashed for good in that three-game series sweep by the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League Division Series. I don't know. What do you remember more? Do you remember Fernando Tatis with the grand slam? Do you remember Cody Bellinger going up to rob that home run, which was really kind of the key play? It turned the whole series around. It was one game to none at the time, and game two was a classic game, and Bellinger made the catch, and the Dodgers won that and went on to win game three rather easily. But, yeah, Globe Life Field, a lot of memories. And, you know, it's interesting. There are some similarities because this year the Padres head into Globe Life Field after seven games of the regular season in which they're only – and I say that with air quotes, only 4-3, because obviously that is not acceptable to the fan base here in San Diego, which has had, which has these high expectations and should have high expectations. But there's nothing wrong with a 4-3 start. It'd be nice to be 5-2, but they're 4-3. So people think they're struggling. The offense hasn't really been clicked into gear yet. So they get into Texas. Well, last year when they arrived in Texas, they were 11-12.
I do remember the panic surrounding the
yeah.
team going
I mean,
into the game.
That season was like up in smoke. I mean, Jace Tingler's job was in jeopardy. You know, it was like, let's blow up the whole thing. We were supposed to be a good team. And I'm talking last year, and they had been swept in a series by the Arizona Diamondbacks, fell to 11-12, and then really turned it around against the Rangers. So we'll see if they can jumpstart things here in 2021. Against this very same Texas team. Joe Musgrove will be on the mound tonight. The Grossmont High kid was absolutely sensational his first time out. Six innings, allowed three hits, struck out eight, walked none in a tour de force performance against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So he'll get the call tonight. Kohei Arihara. Did you draft him for your fantasy team?
Scrappy? I took a long look at him. But
took a long look at him.
Yeah, but ultimately I went with someone else.
He's from the Japanese League. He signed a two-year, $6.5 million contract with the Texas Rangers. He's a rookie in Major League Baseball, but 28 years old, making his second start. His first time out, he allowed three earned runs over five innings against the Kansas City Royals. So it'll be Arihara against Musgrove, and we'll have the pregame show. And guess who's making his pregame show debut for 2021?
You?
Me. I'm surprised.
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
Took seven games to me to get on the pregame slate.
I know how I should have known this was going to happen,
what?
That you were on pregame, because I've been looking for the Padres lineup all day.
Right.
It's been in on time for like all year. And today, for whatever reason,
it was a little later.
We all knew Trent Grisham was coming back. It wasn't a surprise that he was coming back.
Yeah.
And it didn't come out. And so that's why now I know you are on the pregame.
No, the lineup came in a little bit later today, but it is in. And Trent Grisham is in the leadoff spot. A couple of interesting notes on the lineup, by the way. Jurickson Profar is moved up into the number two spot tonight and is playing first base. I don't recall Jurickson Profar playing first base last year. I remember him playing just about everywhere else. Eric Hosmer will be the DH tonight, of course, in the American League City. Tommy Pham struggling out of the gate. He's batting in the number seven hole. And Victor Caratini will be batting ninth at the bottom of the order.
The hottest bat in the lineup right now.
Seven RBIs along with Hosmer tied for the team lead. Will Myers is five RBIs. So we'll see about the Padres. Look, all they did really got it. They're getting the runners on. They've just got to get them in. And that means getting some hits with runners in scoring position. They stranded 27 runners in their three losses.
That's a lot of runners.
Well, that's nine per game in those three losses.
That's a lot.
And that's too many. Yeah, that's why they're struggling right now. And I did a little mathematics here, Scraby.
Oh, gosh.
Padres with runners in scoring position.
RISP.
RISP. In their four wins this season, the Padres are 13 for 37, which is a .351 batting average. That will win you four games. In their three losses, they're 3 for 20, which is a .150 batting average. So the runner in scoring position average is 200 points higher in the four wins than it is in the three losses.
By golly, I think you figured it out.
You think I'm onto something there?
Yes.
I might be onto something. So we'll see if they can get some hits with runners in scoring position tonight. Dodgers, by the way, got their rings and the whole celebration thing in L.A. today. Justin Turner just hit a solo home run to snap a scoreless tie. I know. 1-0 Dodgers over Washington. They're in the bottom of the seventh inning. Walker Buehler's pitching a dandy for L.A. in that ball game. So we'll keep a little eye on that for you as we go along here. But Cody Bellinger went on the disabled list today with a calf strain. Wait, look, I'm not a former National League MVP, so who am I to compare? But you saw what happened to me on Wednesday night when I was rounding second base and did the old pull-up lame, grabbing the back of my hamstring.
The sniper got you.
Sniper got me and strained my hamstring and needed a pinch runner and the whole thing. And, you know, that's kind
of which was a fiasco to begin with because you had no idea who was going to pinch run.
No, a fiasco was you dropping the pop-up.
Oh, wait a second.
That was a fiasco.
I thought we moved past that. We won the game.
Well, we were going to move past it until you called me getting a hamstring injury a fiasco. Then
No, I wasn't saying you getting the injury was a fiasco, but actually finding out who was your pinch runner.
Oh, who was eligible to be the pinch runner, right?
Yes, it's as difficult as the Padres and the Giants had trying to figure it out.
Yes, we should have asked Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, he would have given us the rule.
He would have known because he knows the rules.
Because we had no idea of the rules.
We had no idea who was supposed to pinch run for me. But just so you know, I iced it a little bit and came back and played in my other softball league last night.
So are you saying?
So I'm saying I'm tougher than Cody Bellinger. Yes, I'm much tougher than Cody Bellinger.
My
point here.
I have seen a lot of Twitter. That's really funny. I have seen a lot of Twitter response about because a lot of Dodgers fans took to Twitter when Fernando got hurt and were very excited to see that Fernando got hurt, and to the point where it was creepy about how many people were cheering the fact that he got hurt. And now that Cody Bellinger's on the IL, people are saying it's a little bit of
we're not hearing
karma
from the Dodger fans.
Karma.
Oh, you're thinking some karma has stepped in here.
I saw Woodsy tweet something about injury
look,
karma.
Our MVP candidate goes on the injury list. MVP candidate goes on the injury list.
And he's not going to be able to come back, I believe, until after the Padres series because they play a week from today, the Dodgers and the Padres.
10-day IL today, so you can figure, Bellinger won't be available for that. Come on, a calf strain. What's the matter with these
guys? Don't even get me started on these because we all know how I feel about Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge.
Rub it and put a little dirt on it. Come on now. You can get back in the lineup,
Cody. I'm okay with him taking 10 days in the beginning of the year. Now,
Fernando threw his shoulder out of socket.
And he wanted to play the next day.
And he was ready to play the next day. They had to put him on the 10-day injury list to keep him from forcing his way into the lineup.
He was just going to run out there and push who's ever in the box over.
I think it's clear. The Padres are far tougher than the Dodgers.
Way tougher.
Far tougher than the Dodgers. I don't think there's any argument there.
All right.
I agree with that. Who says that, by the way? Do you know?
It's
I kind of get a kick out of that little call there.
Oh, it's the Dolphins guy. It's when you.
Is it
it's
really?
When the Dolphins, like, scored a touchdown.
They scored a touchdown?
And
well,
he
that
said,
was room
right
for celebration. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Because they don't score too many. All right.
We haven't heard that one in a while, so.
I'm not quite sure what that one was for, but all right, I'll go ahead and live with it. All right, we're underway. Padres, Rangers, pregame show a little after 4 o'clock.
Get off our show!
That's what I wanted to hear. We're going to get off for a second, take a little break, check some traffic. And when we come back, we'll update you on what's going on at the Masters and everything else going on in sports on this Friday afternoon. And then Emilio Pagan will join us. Tony will be there for that interview. And I'll also be interviewing Tony on the pregame show. So those of you who want to hear from Tony Gwynn Jr., we'll hear from him very, very shortly. But first, we'll step aside for a moment and get things rolling. Or actually, things are already rolling here on a Friday afternoon. Good to be with you, Gwen and Chris. Chris Sello, Matt Scraby sitting in till 4 o'clock on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We know you're ready for the weekend, but first, let's celebrate Prior Friday. Presented by Ballast Point Brewing Company, celebrating 25 years of craft beer in San Diego.
All right, it is Friar Friday, and Emilio Pagan will be our guest here in about 10 minutes, so stick around for that. Chris Sello, Matt Scraby at our Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. Getting set to call tonight's ball game. Tony will join us for the Emilio Pagan interview and also be with me on the pregame show, which gets underway at about 4 o'clock here this afternoon. Dodgers 1, Nationals nothing. They're in the top of the eighth inning. We'll keep you up to date on that ball game a little bit as we move along here. But time now, Scraby, for a little piano music. There it is.
It's so beautiful.
It's
as beautiful as the azaleas.
The azaleas, yes. Masters, day two. And Justin Rose stays on top of the leaderboard. Started the day at minus seven. Obviously did not withdraw. Like Scraby.
Well, yeah, because he's winning the tournament, so that's
was
why.
Was concerned that he might?
No, I was not concerned.
He could have withdrawn
next
after
week,
the,
he will withdraw.
He could have withdrawn after the way he started today. He was...
I was surprised he didn't.
Three or four over par on the front nine, but then...
I woke up and he was four under. I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? I look at his scorecard. He had bogey, bogey, bogey.
Yeah.
It made me very excited.
Well, he came back with birdie, 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 because he ended up at minus sevens right where he started. So that's still good enough to lead. I'm going to have to go to the golf expert, though, to help me with the guys that are in second place, because I've never heard of these guys
The
Masters. Who are these people?
Brian Harman, I've definitely heard of. He's been around there. He's a lefty.
I've heard of Butch Harman. He's the swing coach.
No, yes, they're different guys.
Oh, they're different guys?
Yeah.
Oh, really? You mean Butch Harman and Brian Harman
are
different
people?
Well,
like, he's not like his son or anything.
That's really
stunning. He's not like his son. They're not related in any way.
Uh-huh.
But I've heard of Brian Harman before. He's been at the top of the leaderboard. I remember the U.S. Open that was in Erin Hills in Wisconsin. He was in the final group of that one. So he's someone that I've definitely heard of. Now, the other guy, I've never... And I know a lot of random golfers.
You know a ton about golf.
I have never heard of Zalatoris before. Ever in my life.
We don't even know that his name is pronounced Zalatoris.
I don't even know his first name.
Will.
All I see is Will.
Will Zalatoris.
He's
Zalatoris.
American guy?
American guy. 4 under today, 6 under for the tournament. So Zalatoris and Harman are a shot back. Mark Leachman and a guy we definitely heard of, Jordan Spieth, is 2 shots off the lead.
Wow. But, Brent Wiesberger went 6 under today.
All right, there's another guy that means absolutely nothing to me, but
I know who Brent Wiesberger is.
Somebody who does mean something to all of us here in San Diego. Xander Schauffele's having a nice round, though. 3 under today, 3 under for the tournament, so he's only 4 shots off the lead. You know, Xander, he's got a breakthrough, right? I mean, he's right at the cusp of being one of the most famous golfers in the world. I think everybody kind of knows his name already. But you got to get that one breakthrough win, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And he's been close a few times, so he's got an opportunity today.
He's won some big tournaments. He won Tour Championship at East Lake.
He's had a tremendous career.
He has.
From San Diego State.
But he hasn't been able to win that major.
He hasn't won the major yet, so maybe this will be the weekend for Xander Schauffele. Bryson DeChambeau.
He came back a little bit.
He came back a lot of bit. He shot a 5-under par today after a 4-over yesterday, so he's at 1-under. I would say if you're under par, you're still in the tournament right now.
Cut's fair. Probably at like 3-over, I
plus
think.
Plus 3, right, where Phil Mickelson finished up the day. So
aww.
Mickelson is there. Dustin Johnson, the defending champion,
time.
Is also plus 3.
He putted a ball today that was downhill, and usually pro golfers will not leave a downhill putt short. And he left a downhill putt about 5 feet short, which was insane to see. That's
is
how
that
bad it's going. Is that
Scraby-like?
No, I usually don't leave it short. If anything, downhill putts, I'm hitting it way too hard, and it's going like 20
Most
feet past.
Most everybody does. Yeah. I mean, you hit a downhill putt, and you just go, yeah, I'm just going to tap it, and then bring.
I call the tough downhill putts that are a little bit have a little bit of break, I call them squeakers.
Of course, I don't. Squeakers?
Yeah, I call them, oh, man, I hate this squeaker.
A squeaker.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't play too many courses where the greens are that undulating that I have that
more
bad
of the undulations
of a downhill...
come from like the animals that have ravaged the green the night
before.
Yeah,
I don't really have that many downhill putts that are, you know, of major concern for me. But all right, so that's the update on the Masters. But keeping with the theme of golf, do we have to keep hearing about all this stuff with Tiger Woods and his car accident? Like,
apparently
do we
so.
Need to know this every single day? It is a headline, and today's headline doesn't mean a thing to me. I mean, it doesn't mean a thing to me. The only thing that matters to me is that Tiger Woods didn't do anything wrong, except, well, I shouldn't say. Let me start again. The only thing that really matters to me is that Tiger Woods is okay and alive and survived, despite the fact that he was driving way too fast. That's the only thing that really matters to me. But now the story comes out today that after his car wreck, he was interviewed at the hospital, and he believed that he was in the state of Florida, not
uh-oh.
The state of California.
Uh-oh.
Why does that matter? He was knocked unconscious by rolling over in his car and slamming into a tree, going 85 miles per hour. I'm surprised he was able to even name the state of Florida.
I mean,
let alone where he was. Obviously, he was confused. Obviously, he had a headache. His leg was in about 4 or 5 pieces.
I get that, but I believe when he was pulled over for his DUI years ago, he was also very confused as to
all
where
right.
he was.
So everybody has, that's the point. You're taking me to the point. The point is that every article written about Tiger Woods' accident, which was on February the 23rd, basically is trying desperately to find a way that we can all say he was under the influence of something illegal.
Yes, I know. People,
right?
Yesterday
that is
we
what
had a headline.
Everybody is trying to find out, even though it's not true. There's been no evidence of it in any way, shape, or form. The only reason you can bring it up is because it's been a factor in his life before.
That, and we saw a headline, or at least I shared a headline with you guys yesterday before the show ended, from the New York Post saying, undetermined, unlabeled pill bottle found in Tiger's car. I'm like,
consider the source, please.
How do you
the
know
New York,
that?
The New York Post is a half a step above the National Enquirer.
I don't know about that.
Yes, it is. The New York Post is a half a step above the National Enquirer. So
I mean, the National Enquirer reports on Bat
BS.
Boy.
There's
so
been nobody that has reported that. Nobody has said anything about that. My wife, I'm not going to take credit for this. I'm only going to give Lori credit for this, was watching TMZ last night. Yes. And they, of course, are breathless about this entire thing.
I know.
And they were talking about the fact that, you know, the authorities are still under the gun because they did not perform a blood test when he got to the hospital. But they didn't perform a blood test because there was nothing on the scene or nothing in the way of any situation here that made it seem as if a blood test needed to be performed.
Well, I'm gonna
no
play
alcoholic beverages, no odor, no prescription medications in the SUV. Nothing.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate, and as someone who has dealt with substance struggles in their life, I'm past it now. I'm not.
Yes.
I'll never fully be past it, but I've controlled it.
Right.
If I was sober and I had nothing to hide, I would ask the police to take my blood. Because I want that as proof forever and ever and ever. That's the only thing I can think of is that they're not allowing them to take his blood. Why not? Why does he not want his blood taken for that purpose? That's the only thing I can think of. And again, I would want to clear the air if I knew that there was nothing in my system that would be bad while I was driving. Then here, please take my blood.
All right. Well, look, I'm personally done with the story.
I've been done with the story.
I've accepted it. I am content with it, and all I want is for Tiger Woods to, and you know me, I'm not a big Tiger Woods fanatic like everybody else is, but this one, enough already. Leave the guy alone.
Boston Mike.
Let him try to get his life back together and heal up.
Boston Mike just tweeted, you can tweet us, at Matt Scraby, at Chris LOSD. He said, Chris is right. Sometimes I wake up and I think I'm in Lakeside. It's not that far-fetched.
There you go, Boston Mike. If you lived in San Diego and you now live elsewhere, you dream that you're waking up in San Diego.
I've definitely done that where it's like a Saturday and I wake up and I think I'm late for work or something.
Everybody's done that. And you know what? We don't all have to undergo a blood test every time it happens.
Well, I think they should, you know.
Please leave Tiger Woods alone and please stop writing about it. Give us something.
That's not going to happen. They're going to dig into this until the end of time.
Until the end of time. You're absolutely right, Scrabe. Okay, we'll take a quick time out here. Bottom of the hour break. When we come back, Tony Gwynn Jr. rejoins us and Emilio Pagan joins us. Our Friar Friday interview is coming up when the Gwynn and Chris show continues on 97.3 The Fan. All right, 3:36 is the time. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Do we have a controversy in Dodgerland? Potentially.
What did I miss?
Well, Kenley Jansen blew the save yesterday
for the Dodgers
against the Oakland A's. And with a 1-0 lead going to the ninth inning today at Dodger Stadium, Corey Knebel is coming in.
I can't think of that guy's
situation.
Name without Evil Knievel popping
Evil
in my head.
Corey Knebel. That's not easy to say right there.
Evil Corey Knebel? Yeah. Say
he's
that
coming
10
in.
Times fast.
So it might just be that they don't want to use Jansen on back-to-back days, but it might also be a controversy in Dodger Town. We'll let you know if he hangs on to a 1-0 lead or not. Time now for our Friar Friday interview. Tony Gwynn Jr. joining us for a visit with Emilio Pagan on the premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Before we get to Emilio, a check of traffic, and then Friar Friday, people.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Do you want to know what Padres players are really thinking? We get you closer to the Padres than anyone else in town. It's time to go inside the clubhouse. It's Friar Friday, right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Our Friar Friday coverage continues with Padres reliever Emilio Pagan, and we're very happy to have him on the program today. Emilio, great to talk to you. Let me start out by just asking you how much healthier you are at this time this year as opposed to the beginning of the season last year.
Man, it's nice to feel healthy to start off the season. Ultimately we got to where we wanted to be, which was in the playoffs as a team, but to be able to be healthy and get off on the right foot personally is a good feeling. So compared to last year's opening day, I feel night and day different from last year.
That's awesome. Well, let me first start by saying welcome for year number two here with the San Diego Padres. I know that has been somewhat of a sticking point for you. You felt like you wanted to find a place where – you weren't on the move. You'd be able to not have to meet new teammates. And the comfort level, I would imagine, this year, much like the injury issue last year, is night and day as well. Just talk about what that meant to you to be able to return to a franchise again for the second year.
Yeah, it was huge. You know, I kind of got to the point where each offseason I was just kind of waiting for a phone call. So it's nice to have the same coaching staff, front office, and teammates this season that I had last. You know, I don't have to relearn what the schedule looks like and what kind of the terminologies are that we use as an organization. So it's been huge for me as far as the comfort factor. So, you know, I'm very thankful and appreciative to be with the good group, obviously a very talented group. So hopefully I can trick him into letting me stay around for a long time.
Emilio Pagan is with us, the Padres' great right-handed reliever. And, Emilio, I know you have a good relationship, and the whole bullpen is like a separate team. You guys all get along. But talk a little bit about just the four guys that are at the back end right now of this bullpen, yourself and Drew Pomeranz, Keone Kella, and Mark Melancon. I mean, you guys have been lights out so far. I would imagine there's a part of you that would like to be pitching the ninth inning, but you seem pretty settled into the seventh or eighth, whatever it might be. And can you tell us what you think it's going to happen moving forward with this group?
Honestly, I expect a lot of how it's kind of started out. You know, I don't think we'll be perfect all year long. That's an unrealistic goal, but I expect a lot of competitive innings from the four of us and hopefully from pretty much everybody. So as long as we can stay healthy, this bullpen has a chance to be special. And to answer the second part of your question, yeah, absolutely. I don't think I was too shy about it in spring. I'd love a chance at the ninth. But, when me and Dan Altavilla were in Double-A together with the Mariners, you know, we talked a lot about how nasty Mark Melancon was and how fun he was to watch pitch. So to now be on the same team as him and watch him work and go about his business. I mean, the guy is an ultimate pro, and you can tell why he has over 200 career saves. So, I said in spring I'd love the ninth, but I also would not be upset if I didn't get any saves and we were a championship team. So my job right now is to get him the ball with a chance to win the game, and he's going to do his best, and it seems like he's going to be pretty good at it. So, you know, he's been awesome to get to know as a person and as a teammate. So I'm thankful to be pitching in front of him, and hopefully we can keep this run going as a bullpen for a long time.
Emilio Pagan, one of the Padres' back-end arms, joins us here on Friar Friday here on Gwen and Chris. And, Emilio, I went back and I was looking through your career and at StatCast, and earlier in your career, you used the fastball a lot. And I noticed over the last 3 years that cutter, slider, I think you refer to it as a cutter, has started to kind of come up. What is it about that pitch that makes you use it as much as you do?
Just seeing the numbers on it, you know, seeing the numbers from the analytical department and from our research and development department, you know, showing basically, you know, how much slug and opposing batting average and everything is down on that pitch. You know, I love my fastball. I'll always throw my fastball a lot, but my fastball is also a very high fly ball pitch. So, coming in late in the game, runners on, whatever, where a sac fly could possibly tie a game. You know, I'm not going to shy away from my fastball if I think it's the right pitch. I'm still going to lean on that. I think it's my best weapon. But my cutter seems to get more ground balls, weak contact. So, you know, as long as I'm coming in big time situations, I've learned that I need to use that pitch more. Simply just to be less predictable.
Right.
You know, I feel like my fastball is an elite fastball. I feel like it's one of the best in the game. But, you know, if I'm throwing it 75-80% of the time, then it's not going to be as elite as it could be if I'm closer to 50-50 with my usage. So as long as my arm, you know, keeps bouncing back the way it has in years past, you know, I'm going to try and get closer to that 50-50 level just to remain as unpredictable as possible. I think it makes both of my pitches better.
Emilio Pagan is our guest here, one of the great Padre relievers on this 2021 ball club, native of Simpsonville, South Carolina. And I just wonder, Emilio, when you grew up playing baseball, when did it first hit you that maybe a relief pitcher was going to be the story for you? I'm assuming you played a whole bunch of different positions. You probably started games in high school. I don't know anybody that grows up as a late inning reliever, but eventually – it kind of just fits. Tell us a little bit about how that all worked out.
Yeah, honestly, you know, I didn't start doing the whole reliever thing until I was a junior in college. I was a shortstop, third baseman, played a little bit of outfield, pretty much all the way until that point. I did start as a starting pitcher my freshman and sophomore year of college. But at the time, I was only throwing probably 87 to 90, and you could kind of see where the game was going, and that just wasn't going to play for a right-handed pitcher, in my opinion. So I wanted to give myself the best chance to play in at the professional level, so I thought maybe, you know, being a position player would be that route. But you know, you swing at too many breaking balls that bounce in the grass, that dream ends pretty quickly. So I could always throw strikes and felt like I was competitive on the mound. So the velo ticked up a little bit as a senior in college and got a chance to play pro ball, and from that point on I've been a reliever. So you know, the reliever thing didn't start till very late in my baseball journey, but seems to be definitely the right way to go for me. So it's been fun.
I mean, I want to go back to something you said. You mentioned throwing the fastball and the cutter around 50-50. There was a time, and we'll go take you back to your college time, there was a time where the thought process was, we don't want to throw too many breaking balls because it might put our pitchers at risk. Are we now in a place where we have more data to understand that may not actually be the case? Because you're not the only pitcher making this move where – You're using your fastball a little bit less and more your breaking stuff or your secondary stuff. Do we just have data now saying, hey, it may not be as we thought it was in terms of how much we need to throw sliders or breaking balls in general?
Honestly, I don't know. You know, I love all the new data in baseball or data. I love all the new analytics stuff. I think it can only make you better as a player as long as you approach it the right way. But as far as the arm stuff, I'm pretty old school in that regard. Okay. You know, I don't know if all the pitch limit stuff and inning limit is doing better or worse. It seems like guys still get hurt every year. So
for me,
what I rely on is just how my body feels. You know, like if my arm feels great, throwing 50% of both two pitches, that's what I'm going to rely on. I'm sure there are numbers out there. I haven't seen them, you know, as far as pitch usage, what the limits are or damage it does to an arm. But for me, if I'm feeling strong physically, throwing a certain number of pitches or throwing whatever, you know, for me, it differs for each guy. So I think it's dangerous to put a certain number on anybody, on any given person, just because we're all different. You know, we all bounce back. We all have things that make us tick differently as humans. So, in that regard, I don't know. I'm a little old school with that. So if I feel good, I'm going to keep throwing it. If it starts hurting, I might back off a little bit. So I think time will tell for me personally.
Emilio Pagan, we appreciate the time, Emilio, on game day. I just had one quick last question. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your time in Tampa Bay and whether you got to know Blake Snell, because we're starting to get to know Blake Snell, obviously, here in San Diego. And we like what we're getting to know. He is a terrific
Absolutely.
Guy, and he is a fun very honest guy, but great to hang out with. Did you get to know Blake in Tampa Bay, and how much fun is it to have him as a teammate again?
I did get to know him. I got to know him really well, actually. You know, as players, we all kind of gravitate towards the guys that are the most successful and try to pick their brain and learn from them. And Blake was very honest with me in the get-go as to what he saw and what he thought would help me personally as a pitcher. So, you get to know the player kind of at first, and then, you know, as your relationship grows, I got to know Blake the person. And when I heard that he might be available in trades, you know, and AJ reached out to me and kind of picked my brain on what I thought, you know, pretty much my response was do whatever you can to get that guy, because he's an organization changer. And that has nothing, you know, nothing against the players we gave up to get him. I personally loved Luis Patino. I thought he was going to be a tremendous big leaguer for years to come. But for me, Blake Snell is a maker, and he's a guy that can help us win a division right now. So, I was ecstatic when I heard we were in talks, and then when we landed him, I was even more happy. So, you know, I'm glad to have him on our side again.
Well, Emilio, we wish you the best of continued luck. Great start to the season, and keep it rolling, and keep putting up goose eggs. And
yes, sir.
I'm sure you'll be getting some ninth innings as the season goes along as well. And you've been one of the best relievers in baseball for the last 4 or 5 years, and we're glad to have you back for a second year in San Diego. So good luck, and have a good road trip, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Emilio.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
There he is, Emilio Pagan, on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline, our Friar Friday interview. Don't forget, you can save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Come visit us today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad, find new roads. Good stuff with Emilio Pagan there. And, pretty straight up. He wants the ninth inning. He'd like it, and that's what you want all your relievers to have, that attitude. I'm sure Keone Kella would say the same thing. Drew Pomeranz, ditto. But right now, Mark Melanson's getting it done in the ninth inning. And look, Emilio Pagan's picked up a couple of wins already this season. So
two of them.
So it worked out nicely for
when
him.
When I reached out for him, that was the reason why I reached out for him.
Because he was leading the league?
Yeah, he was leading the league in wins, and I wanted to see if we could ask him about how it felt. But then the week went by, and he lost the lead.
He lost the lead. The kid on the Phillies now has 3 wins in the bullpen already this year. I think his name is Brogdon. Anyway, Dodgers ended up winning that ballgame today 1-0 over the Washington Nationals. Corey Knebel did get the save, a 1-2-3 ninth
Knebel.
Inning. So does Knebel's success today start a little bit of a controversy? I bet you any amount of money. Justin Turner hit a home run in the sixth inning. Walker Buehler pitched 6 innings, shutout baseball. What do you think the first question to Dave Roberts is going to be after the game? Hey, do you have a controversy now in your closer situation? It'll be the very first thing that somebody asks.
As it should be.
As it should be?
Yeah.
And I'd ask him about Justin Turner's clutch home run.
Why?
Walker Buehler's fine pitching.
That's going to be asked all year.
That's ho hum.
That's going to be asked all year.
You want to stir it up.
I want the juice.
You want to stir it up.
Yeah,
that's typical. Padres and Rangers getting set. We have our pregame show in about 10 minutes, getting underway here, and Tony Gwynn Jr. will rejoin me on the pregame show for a visit. We'll talk about tonight's game and give you all the stats and stories leading into tonight's game. 5 o'clock, shortly after 5 o'clock for the first pitch tonight. Joe Musgrove on the mound for the Padres. But the big news for the Padres today, Trent Grisham has been activated. Bad news for the morning show. Sorry, Brian O'Grady was sent back to the alternate site.
Man, that stinks for Brian O'Grady. He got like one day on the big league squad before
he'll get
was
some
sent
more
back.
Days on the big league squad before
I know,
it's all
but
said and done. He'll get that, plenty of
that's
time.
That's a bummer.
I doubt he flew all the way to Texas. I'm assuming that he just went from the alternate site.
They
sat
opened,
in
they opened
for
the
Padres.
Door over Arizona, and he had to like.
Maybe
skydive
he did
out.
Actually fly to Texas. Who knows? I mean, because they left right after the game on Wednesday.
They did,
and maybe they weren't 100% sure. We just don't know because nobody travels with the team anymore. You don't have any media involved. So maybe Brian O'Grady did get a free trip to Texas out of it. I don't know. But Jace Tingler asked today about who's going to see the most time now in left field. Tommy Pham is in left field tonight. But now that Grisham is back, returning to play center field, how will Jace juggle his lineup?
You know, this series, like I said, we're going to use the DH day. And try to get some guys, you know, off their feet. So I think once we get into, you know, that Pittsburgh series, when we get on the road, you know, we'll take a look at it. We know that with the 17, you know, straight games or so, we're going to be, you know, bouncing guys in and out, keeping them fresh. But tonight Pham will be in left, and we're giving Haas a DH day today, probably look to have Manny's DH day on the last game here, which is Sunday on that day game. So, you know, not really sure what we're going to do tomorrow. Like I kind of want to wait and see how Grisham responds from the 9 or so innings on the AstroTurf. And we'll kind of wait and see what we're looking like for tomorrow. But, you know, as we start to get healthy, we're going to continue to, you know, make sure our guys are fresh and they're crisp and rotate those guys out. At the same time, I want to make sure that they're getting their at bats and they're getting their innings where they can find that rhythm and timing where they can get off and get going.
All right, Jace Tingler talking about the lineup and what they plan to do this weekend. As he mentioned, they do have the DH at their disposal, and Eric Hosmer is DHing today with Jurickson Profar playing at first base. We'll have time, I think, to hear a little bit more from Jace Tingler, get an update on Austin Nola's injury situation. However, right now is time. It's 55 past the hour, so it's time for a Grand Slam giveaway. Code word. This hour's code word is taxi. Text the word taxi to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't drive and text. Tune in at 55 past the hour between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. for code words in the Grand Slam giveaway. It's powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app today. This hour's Grand Slam giveaway code word taxi. Text it to 72881. All right, Johnny Cueto, he's still pitching?
He is, apparently.
He's pitching 8 innings of 2-hit shutout ball today.
7 Ks.
Giants are leading the Rockies 2-0. We told you the Dodgers beat the Nationals 1-0. Let's pause for a moment right now for station identification.
KWFN and KWFN HD1 San Diego. The 2021 Padres play here.
It is gonna go! A home run for Will Myers.
On San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3 The Fan.
An Odyssey station.
All right, Chris Ello back with you, along with Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr. Getting set for tonight's broadcast. He will join me for a visit in our pregame show. Padre pregame gets underway in about 10 minutes, so we have a few minutes left, and we can hear a little bit more from Jace Tingler updating the injury situation. Of course, Trent Grisham is back off the injured list, but that still leaves some guys on that injured list, so Jace Tingler was asked today when he expects catcher Austin Nola to be ready.
He's going to be playing down in Arizona, so he's starting that process of playing games and getting back into just the rhythm and timing, both defensively and offensively. We feel really good where his conditioning's at. He's done a lot of running. His legs are strong. They're underneath him. And we feel really, really good. The training staff did a great job kind of at that stage where from catching the ball and swinging a bat, the swelling's gone down in that finger. So now it's just more of a matter of just getting sharp with the rhythm and timing of the game. So he's going to be playing some innings down in Arizona, and we'll kind of see how he progresses and how quickly he gets back into game, just sharpness.
I'll tell you one thing, that I really like the Padres' catching situation. I mean, Caratini's obviously been a bit of a revelation. I think people just figured him as a throw-in in the Yu Darvish trade because he was Darvish's personal catcher, but he's been coming through. We talked about the Padres not being able to get many hits with runners in scoring position, but Caratini's getting hits with runners
in scoring
position.
He's the only guy. Well, him and Hosmer.
Seems like, Caratini and Hosmer are the only two guys really coming through, and he's got the seven RBIs. So you get Austin Nola back with Caratini, and you're looking really good. A lot of people ask about Luis Campusano, and I think his future is exciting and bright, but I think it's still in the future. I just don't think he's quite ready to handle a big league staff on an everyday basis. So I think the Padres, look, you know, this opening homestand, I mean, you're without 1/3 of your starting lineup. You know, no Grisham, no Tatis, and no Nola. I mean, there aren't a lot of teams that can take 1/3 of their starting lineup out and still be as effective. It's a factor. And, I'm looking forward to Austin Nola being back ready to catch again for the Padres. Speaking of Caratini, you know he's the only Padre so far that has even a hit with the bases loaded?
Oh, wow.
We're talking about Slam Diego now.
Yeah.
Padres have had 7 at-bats this year with the bases loaded.
Is that...
They don't have any grand slams.
I was going to say, is that above most of the league, you think?
I don't know where that ranks, but...
Sounds like a
lot.
Out
of those 7 at-bats with the bases loaded, only Victor Caratini on opening day has gotten a hit in that situation. So maybe Slam Diego. It started in Texas last year. Maybe it'll start this year in Texas tonight. We'll find out. Padre pregame show is coming up next for Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.